Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Haynes, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? While you at the red carpet club partying and drinking, the U.S. says liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond and plan all along. And you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let it drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep growing, we know that you're just a wolf. All right,
all over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator. No apology. Rules more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who's proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lane, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me, can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The rock is soon to set sail. Vote for always, just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. A police you can stick to with work on this campaign trail. This issue with integrity, it is very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Alright. You're here with me tonight. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. C. Robert Jones. People sometimes ask, what kind of doctor are you? Are you a surgeon? Are you an orthopod? Are you an orthopedist? Are you an internist? Are you an internal medicine? Are you a pediatrician? Are you an OBGYN? I say no. No. My degree is in history. History, I'm a history guy. I received my degrees while serving as a Marine in the United States Marine Corps. And initially, I'll admit that I attended grad school so I could get out of some unpleasant duty stations like Okinawa the first time, and then a couple other places I didn't want to go, so I decided to sign up for university classes, and the next thing you know, there I was. And so you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Today's date, August 11th, 2011. We're here in beautiful Washington, D.C. Planet Earth. Oh, United States of America, of course. Planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Right now, the debate is going on, the Republican debate in Okinawa. Karen has in the chat room has been to Okinawa, and I tell you what, Karen, you know fully well that Okinawa is not the kind of place you want to be for 3 years or 18 months. At the time I was married, so it would have been a 3-year tour with my wife or an 18-month tour by myself. So I opted to stay in the greater Virginia, D.C. area and pursue a master's degree the first time. And so that's really how that whole thing got. There was no real ambition to become an advanced degree holder. It was more to get out of a certain amount of duty station. So tonight's topic, while the debate is going on, and I toyed with actually, just doing a rebroadcast of one of my favorite shows and then just kind of watching the debate. But I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do an hour show and then analyze the debate as we go along. Because right now Mitt Romney spoke, Michelle Bachmann spoke before him, and she reiterated the one-term president mantra that she is now famous for. She wants Obama out of office, and a lot of us here do as well. So let's get started with the show. The title of tonight's show is A Leaderless Nation. And it's well known in political axiom that presidents will often be credited with accomplishments that they did not earn. And they're also known for being criticized for failures that were out of their control. And I could cite notable examples. Tesla's in the house. Antoinette, Karen, glad you're all here. But just as often, particularly in our modern era, where we have, against the wise counsel of our founding, consolidated more and more power in the hands of our federal executive, the president, presidents. Presidents own the failures that happen on their watch. The disastrous and nationally humiliating downgrade of our country's credit rating was not an inevitable consequence of uncontrollable misfortune. It was not. It wasn't the result of gridlock or political wrangling between two parties that have bickered over our national debt and credit since the days of Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton. It was a remarkable failure of leadership. Make no mistake, Barack Obama can protest all he likes about how our downgrade was as a result of political wrangling, political misgivings, whatever, the weather. Dog ate his homework. It was a failure of leadership by the man chosen to be the country's economic caretaker. That's what that was all about. Now, for a full 3 days following the unprecedented embarrassment, the leader of the free world remained silent. Perhaps he was recovering from an exhausting multi-day birthday bash and political fundraiser that he threw for himself in two separate cities. Two. Or maybe his delay was to give his senior staff time to come up with more meaningless platitudes that he could dispassionately read from the teleprompter. to in order to reassure a panicked nation? Perhaps. But as the president casually, very nonchalantly, waltzed out to his podium, 53 minutes and 3 days late, the disquieting sensation had already begun to settle. It already begun to settle in, even his most ardent supporters, that Obama was simply not up to his job. Finally, folks, it's being talked about, it's being put out there, that Obama is simply not up to the job. And isn't it about time? Because the substance of his press conference did little to change that increasingly obvious conclusion. Once again, the man who once campaigned as a visionary of the future retreated behind his now comedic refrain. It's all Bush's fault. It's the fault of the weather. It's the fault of hurricanes and tsunamis. It's the fault of George Bush. It's the fault of Congress. What kind of man, let me please ask you, blames his predecessor for things that happen on his watch? What kind of real grown man does that? Can anybody tell me? Does anybody really know what time it is? Once again, now don't misunderstand, no one would disagree with Obama that the need to reduce our deficit was true the very day he took office. But the reason why this argument falls flat is because far from reducing the Bush deficits, when it comes to spending more money than we're taking in, President Obama has outpaced Bush by a jaw-dropping $1 trillion a year. Or consider this staggering reality. In just 4 days last week, President Barack Obama's administration increased the national debt by more in inflation-adjusted dollars than the administrations of President Truman and Eisenhower increased the national debt over the entire decade of the 1950s. And that's a true statement. That's a true formula. This kind of runaway spending makes George Bush look like a penny pincher. We'll be right back. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
Please listen to the We Are America show, home of the Wahoo Radio Network, every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. The debate is going strong. I have it here on my computer screen. I can hear it in one ear as I am broadcasting here. Governor Tim Pawlenty is on right now, and he is he's on fire right now. It's about time that he stepped up a little bit because he's a little timid going through. And I'm very pleased to see that Governor Pawlenty has stepped it up a little bit. Now, back to Mr. Obama. Perhaps realizing that pointing his finger at his predecessor wasn't going to cut it, President Obama also dispatched his underlings to start spreading the deranged talking point that this is a Tea Party downgrade, or rather, quote, Tea Party downgrade, end quote. Now let me see if I understand this correctly. The only group of people in the country who have, for the last 2 years, been warning for the need to make drastic spending cuts to avoid a catastrophic downgrade like this are responsible for the fact that our political leaders didn't make drastic spending cuts to avoid the catastrophe like this. That the left is attempting such a delusional accusation is a clear indication of the level of desperation that they and this administration feel. And why wouldn't they, really? The man who once promised to turn back the rise of the oceans and heal the planet was there. On national TV, y'all, saying no matter what some agency might say, we've always been and always will be a AAA country. Wow. It's kind of like when you say you're about to break up with your girlfriend or you're divorcing, and you say, well, you know, we're just going to go our separate ways and we just kind of grew apart, but we'll always love each other. We'll always be good friends. Well, if you love each other and you'll always be good friends, how come you can't stay married? Well, I guess according to Barack Obama, even though We've been downgraded by one agency, and the other is teetering. Moody's is teetering on the brink of downgrading us. Well, I guess, regardless of that, we'll always be a AAA country. Wow. The irresponsibility of that statement is really difficult to fully grasp. Obama is 2.5 years into the job and is yet to realize that the full faith and credit of the United States is not something that can be maintained with juvenile taunts toward some agency. I mean, really. Or that our AAA rating can be regained just by a presidential pronouncement. He does believe that he is a dictator of sorts. So one does not wonder why he would not assume that he can re-elevate us to AAA status just by saying so. Obama's mindless press conference, in which he offered no ideas, none, mind you, or plan on how to regain our superior credit rating, and in which he exhibited a bizarre lack of urgency, is reflective on someone fundamentally unserious about the gravity of the moment. Left, even symphatic supporters like Chris Matthews. This left even Chris Matthews questioning whether Obama was up to the task. Even Chris Matthews, who continually has a tingle up his leg. And Matthews isn't alone. Obama's supporter Drew Weston wrote in the New York Times, "Those of us who were bewitched by his eloquence on the campaign trail chose to ignore some disquieting aspects of his biography. That he had accomplished very little before he ran for president, having never run a business or a state. That he had a singularly unremarkable career as a law professor, published nothing in the 12 years at the University of Chicago, and that he had voted present instead of yay or nay 130 times, sometimes dodging difficult issues. Wow. Finally, the liberals have come and they have been taken to task. Finally, the liberals are getting it. We elected an idea, not a president. We elected a guy in a nice suit who spoke well. In essence, we elected a con artist. We elected, here's what the United States of America elected, hope. There was hope that this neophyte could do the job. That he'd grow into it, that he'd learn, you know, the ropes. I recall on a Facebook page, just after the election, when Barack Obama and his wife Michelle visited Paris and was met by the people of Paris with great fanfare, some delusional African American on the page wrote, "Who said they wouldn't succeed? Who said that Obama wouldn't succeed? He'd only been in office like a month. He hadn't done anything at all." But this person thought that just because he showed up in Paris and was greeted well by the people, that he was a great success already. This is the kind of delusional thinking that brought us Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, and on and on. Putting your faith and your hope in a political leader who neither means the country well nor knows what to do. It's sadly apparent that this president is not up to the task, that he's still dodging difficult issues, which is why after bond rating agencies warned us in July, folks, that we must come up with a plan to get our borrowing and spending under control or risk a credit downgrade, Obama offered no such plan, but instead asked Congress to allow him to borrow and spend another $2.5 trillion. The conclusion is incontrovertible. Obama owns this downgrade, and the country is undeniably worse off due to his failed stewardship of our nation's finances. At a time begging for leadership, America has found itself a leaderless nation. No doubt. We'll be right back. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Are you ready to do something about your high credit card debt? Tired of paying double-digit interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? It's time to stop the madness. Get out of debt the safe and affordable way with Credit Card Relief. With Credit Card Relief, there are no upfront fees, no monthly maintenance fees, and no settlement fees. You don't pay anything until a debt is settled, all with a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's Credit Card Relief. Managed by local attorneys in-state, with workout plans tailored to your debt situation. Get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving thousands in future bank fees. Call the original Credit Card Relief, where the consultation is free and the results are real.
Call 866-290-8282. Not available in all states. That's Credit Card Relief. 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282. 290-8282.
Long Talk Radio.
January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president.
8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Study economics. A free economy will not break down. All depressions are caused by government interference.
That we should strip away regulations, consumer protections, let the market run wild, and prosperity would rain down on all of us. It hasn't worked out that way.
The cure is always offered so far to take more of the poison that caused the disaster.
And so now we've got to take some decisive action. This plan's one reason that mortgage interest rates are now at near historic lows. To that end, we've launched a program designed to support the markets for more affordable auto loans, student loans, and small business loans, a program that's already securitized more of this lending in the last week than in the last 4 months combined.
Depressions are not a result of a free economy. Labor leaders get together to initiate legislation to help labor. That is only acting on the same principle, namely, all parties agreeing that it is proper for the state to legislate in favor of one economic group or another.
Middle class need a rescue package. It means help for homeowners so that they can stay in their homes. It means that we are helping state and local governments set up road projects and bridge projects. You need somebody working for you, and you've got to have somebody in Washington who's thinking about the middle class and not just those who can afford to hire lobbyists.
The country is run by majority rule through ballot, and that majority seems to prefer to vote for this modified welfare state.
Oh, I don't believe that. You know as well as I do that the majority today has no choice.
As President of the United States, Alan, I would order the Secretary of the Treasury to immediately buy up the bad home loan mortgages in America.
The second step we took was to launch a plan to stabilize the housing market. Yesterday, Secretary Geithner announced a new plan that will partner government resources with private investment to buy up the assets that are preventing our banks from lending money.
What do you mean?
The majority has never been offered a choice between control and freedom.
Until we stabilize home values in America, we're never going to start turning around and creating jobs.
The strategy to create jobs?
Fixing our economy.
That's why we've put in place a comprehensive strategy designed to attack this crisis on all fronts. But we must remember that we can get there if we travel that road as one nation, as one people.
Is that not true?
No, it isn't.
Oh.
This country was made not by robber barons, but by independent men, by industrialists who succeeded on sheer ability.
And having
by ability, I mean without political force, help, or compulsion.
All right, we're back. What you heard there was just a montage between an exchange, if you will, a melded exchange between Barack Obama and my girl, Ayn Rand. Regarding the state versus private industry, capitalism versus socialism. It's a great exchange because Barack Obama believes that government can do great things and create jobs and sustain an economy. Ayn Rand believed that the private sector, capitalism, was what drives this great economic engine. And I believe that. Now, yesterday we talked about Jimmy Carter. Me and Tesla, some of the other folks in the room, I have a caller on the line. We're going to talk about Jimmy in a minute. Well, I'm going to bring the caller on in just a minute, but I'd like to say something about Jimmy Carter. The Carter presidency versus the Obama presidency. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, then I'm going to bring the caller on. In the late 1970s, a buck-tooth, funny-looking, howdy-doody-style looking peanut farmer from Georgia was our president. On Sunday morning, he walked to church with a Bible under his arm to teach his Sunday school class at a Baptist church. His brother hawked Billy beer, and his mother was attacked by a rabbit in a rowboat. It's true. His wife was a Southern lady. When the hostages was taken, he burrowed into the White House, never leaving the D.C. area. He did not want to be accused of not caring about our national crisis. When the price of gas raised to the unbelievable cost of $1 a gallon, he championed coal, gasification, and shale oil projects to make us energy independent. When he spoke of the spirit malaise in America, we knew he was right. We also knew he was the source of much of the malaise. When a rescue mission by our troops failed, he notified our nation, and he took his medicine as we took ours. Now we have a community organizer as our president. He seldom attends church, and when he does, he espouses black liberation theology. His family uses Air Force One as a shuttle to one exotic vacation locale to the next. His wife preaches the virtues of fresh vegetables to children while scarfing down cheeseburgers in private and fries. When the stock market tumbled and our bond rating was downgraded, he continued to attend fundraisers and play golf. When the price of gas approached a mind-staggering $4, he did nothing but continue to tie the hands of domestic energy producers. When he spoke of shared sacrifice and the evils of tax breaks for corporate jets, we simply tuned him out. And yes, President Jimmy Carter, our memories of him are getting fonder every day, every single day. Some say that Jimmy Carter was the worst president in the history of the United States. I've just proven to you that the worst president of the United States resides in the Oval Office right here and now. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
Hello?
Yes.
How
Mays,
are you doing
is that
today?
You?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how are you? Did you agree with that statement?
No. I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Are some statements and this irrelevant stuff that you get, what make those people smarter than you? Because it's just the people's opinions.
What did you say?
They have no facts.
No, what did you just say? I didn't
talk about what make them the things that you're quoting and the people that you're quoting, what make them smarter than you?
Well, Mays, a lot 99% of what I've said here tonight and what I say during my show comes off the
human just like you.
Comes off the top of my head. I mean, I come up with most of this stuff.
Oh,
when I'm going to cite an article that I'm reading from, I give credit to those articles. But what people are you referring to? Give me an example.
That write the articles. The people that write the articles.
Well, I don't do articles all.
No.
Mays, you can't talk and I'm talking at the same time. Which articles are you referring to?
The one you're always talking about and discussing.
I'm not
who
citing
it.
I did not cite an article tonight.
Yes, you did.
Which one?
The one where you talked about the president getting on jet. It's just like a broken.
No.
It's repeated over and over again.
No.
Hamburgers and.
Mays. I'm not citing an article when I say that. It's true.
Who are you citing? You're repeating something somebody else said.
No. I'm repeating I'm repeating what Michelle said.
So what makes
because
them-
Michelle says that we should all eat our vegetables. That we should have as little salt as possible, that we shouldn't eat French fries, that our children shouldn't eat French fries, that her children, that she has a Let's Move project going on that's costing millions of dollars. No, I'm answering your question, Mays. And then she goes and says that she's going to eat a 2,780 calorie meal.
But did she work out after she ate the meal? To burn the calories, but just like when you eat, you burn
well,
calories.
Well, okay,
if
then,
you eat,
all right.
What you eat.
Okay, but, Mays, that's fine. If that's the case, let me eat my 12,000 calorie food and work out if I want to. Why should the First Lady tell me what I should be doing and she's not doing it?
Just like all the other First Ladies came up with something that they came up with, nobody had no problem. So then we don't have no problem
like
with this.
Like what? Give me an
why
example.
Why you got a problem with her? It's like, what was that one? The one came up with the drugs.
Just say no.
Just say no. Yes.
All right. Was she doing
no
drugs?
Was
Mrs. Reagan doing drugs?
I don't know.
Okay,
what
she meant was let just say no to drugs, and she didn't admit later on that she was smoking crack. The First Lady of the United States of America and the President himself are chowing down on cheeseburgers and fries, eating like glutton pigs. The First Lady of the United States of America's ass is getting bigger than the state of Montana as we're watching it. She's chowing down. And then she tells the United States of America, the people of this great country, children, that they shouldn't eat as much, that they should stop eating, that we should stop eating fries, that we should stop eating hamburgers because it's not good for us. But she chows down. When the president of the United States does that, there's a credibility issue there. There's a forthright, magnanimous, honesty issue there, Mays.
He can't go on vacation and you're crying about it.
Mays, do you have children? Do you have children at home, Mays?
No, I don't.
Did you have children at home ever?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, at some point, did you ever advise your children of things they should not do?
Yes.
Okay. And when you did that, did you turn around and do the exact same things right there in their faces?
No, I didn't.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. My point is, if you're going to try to tell America what we should and should not do, at the very least, you shouldn't be doing those things.
No,
I mean, the president of the United States, Mays, is flying around. The president of the United States is flying around on Air Force One daily at a cost of $200,000 an hour, a little bit more than that. According to the United States Air Force, who runs the damn thing, expending all sorts of fuel and pollution into the air as he does so, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars more in Secret Service details, blocking off streets, all of this. He did this when he first got into office just to take his wife to dinner.
And he ain't
going to
keep on doing it.
The point here, Mays, is that the President of the United States is a leaderless hypocrite.
That's your opinion.
That's the opinion of
one person.
That's my opinion and the opinion of a great my opinion. It's my opinion, Mays, and it's the opinion of a great many people. Especially now it's coming to light that the president has no idea what he's doing. And Mays, the president's poll numbers has dropped so dramatically. Mays, do you remember when the president of the United States poll numbers were at 70%?
That's what they said they were 70%. We don't know. As
what of today,
he's at
just barely 40%.
And
the guy is doing a terrible job, Mays. Stop kissing his butt, Mays. Just because he's black. Because really, that's what it's all about. Mays, I know you're a Democrat. I know you're a liberal. And I dig it. It's cool with me. I don't have a problem with it. But to suggest that this guy is doing a great job.
A great job.
You're making yourself look silly. Why,
no,
how do you know that? What is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing that's so
crazy?
Crazy.
Mays,
what is he doing that's so great? Run off a couple things.
Then prepare y'all for change that we see.
What change is that, Mays?
All the change that we see is good
what?
For you.
What is it?
Running
what is he
y'all
doing?
Crazy because he's there.
Running
that's
us
change.
Crazy.
You
that's
never
a change.
That's right, running you crazy. Because that's
that,
what,
that, that's
right.
What
people,
he's doing. If that's what he's doing, Mays, he needs to be gone.
Well, he don't need to be gone.
So
he's
the president of the United States. So he's the president of the United States, and he's doing a great job because he's running us crazy. Did you hear that, my guest? Those of you who will download this program later and listen to it later, my girl May says that the president is doing a great job. She didn't cite anything that he's doing, any policy, nothing, other than the fact that he is running us crazy. Okay. Well, thanks,
now, what
Mays.
Else do you need to ask me? Yes.
That's
I know
it. I don't have any more questions.
I know you can't take it.
I'm glad you come on, Mays, because when you
doing
say stuff like that,
he can,
Mays,
with
he's
the
doing the best
that's
job.
Around him.
What is he doing? Give me what? One really good policy that he has done that the majority of the people of this country appreciate.
Being there. The
Mays.
People of this country being there, being an American citizen.
Mays, I love you, really. I have a lot of respect for you, Mays, but you got to put the bottle down or the weed or whatever it is that you're smoking. Please, put it down. Now, I'm going to ask you seriously, my girl, my good friend, please, cite one thing that two things that the president has done that suggests to you that he's doing a good job. Now, seriously, be serious right now.
He did a great campaign, and he got
that was 2.5 years ago.
Better than the ones that he, and then the reason why he's not getting what he needs to get done, tell me why not.
Hey, what is he doing?
If you got somebody saying that they're going to do everything they can and make sure he don't get what he wants.
Mays, what is the president doing?
Those people that
what is the good job?
They need to go home.
Okay, so now we have concluded that Mays has no idea what the
you
president
have no idea.
He can't cite anything.
I have have an idea of what
you
can't
decide anything
doing,
that the president's
you
doing.
But you want to fight it.
Now, if the American people were doubtful about the manipulative nature of Barack Obama, his undignified behavior, at the dignified transfer of the remains of 30 American troops killed by the Taliban insurgents, in the worst single loss of life in 10 years of combat, should extinguish any remaining doubt. It's confirmed. Barack Obama is willing to disrespect the families of dead war heroes, if doing so assists in his desperate bid for re-election. Don't you agree, Mays?
Who you get that from? Who wrote that?
No. I'm saying.
I want to know who wrote that.
I wrote it. It's coming off the top
no
of
sense.
My head, Mays. Why do people have to write things I say?
Because
I'm not Barack Obama.
That's what y'all do is repeat.
Maze, just because I'm black doesn't mean I need a teleprompter like Barack Obama. I actually have original thoughts in my head. I know that Barack Obama is known for using
at
the teleprompter
because
he's not very smart.
You don't have a book where there's two words on it and then you're flipping and act like you're reading something. At least he's reading a teleprompter. Somebody didn't even read the book. They just had one word on the page. They flip it.
All right. So... the president is desperate, Mays. And after the tragedy in the forest peaks of Wardak Province, 60 miles southwest of Kabul, Pentagon officials said that because 19 families of the deceased 30 soldiers objected to media coverage of the remains coming off the plane at Dover Air Force Base, no images would be taken. None. The Pentagon was so emphatic about the sensitive nature of the event that they even rejected media requests to take photos that showed officials at the ceremony. Come on. Doug Wilson, head of public affairs at the Pentagon, said that not even the photographers who generally accompany the Defense Department and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were permitted to attend. But Barack Obama took pictures anyway and widely distributed them.
Had a camera to take pictures?
What do you have to say about that, Mays?
Did he have the camera to take the pictures?
What do you have to say about that, Mays?
I'm saying,
why would
the
president of the United States take pictures?
I'm asking you.
When
he
was... No. Let me ask you. Why would the president do that?
Everything happened, you got to put...
Why would the president do that? Disrespect these families, these gallant warriors. Why would because the guy is a loser. He is a loser. Now, the snapshot portrayed Obama and other officials in silhouette and did not depict the caskets in an attempt to give Barack Obama the stature he lacks as a political leader, a military leader, or any kind of a troop leader of a squad of Girl Scouts. Now, the photo was shot against a gray sky, and it was all very dramatic. I'm sure you've seen it. Under the wing of a military aircraft, outlining a salute, or the president saluting from behind, standing ramrod straight. Wow. Two whole heads above four other men whose hands were over their hearts. Wow. The family simply requested no pictures.
Don't know they're requesting nothing.
Why pictures when the family requested no pictures? My girl Mays is an apologist for Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama is black, there's no substance there. Simply even though there's no substance in what my girl Mays is talking about. Mays is talking about Barack Obama in very general terms. Now, I have a great deal of respect for Mays, I do. But Mays, this apologizing for this obvious clown of a president is beyond the pale. It's disrespectful to black folks. Maze, you are disrespecting black folks everywhere.
No, you are disrespecting everybody. Not only black people, you are disrespecting everybody. So don't tell me who I'm disrespecting.
Maze, when you defend the President of the United
States... I have the right to do it. So when
you defend the President of the United States of America and there's no defense for him, everybody can see that. We can all see it. The guy has no idea what he's doing. He is making misstep after misstep after misstep, and quite frankly, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying every single minute of Barack Obama's failing as a president. Because just like my guy Rush Limbaugh said, he wants the president to fail, and he does not apologize for it. And people say, well, if the president fails, the country fails. Well, that depends on what the president's aspirations are for the country. If the president aspires to socialize this country, to fundamentally transform the United States of America into a socialist utopia, and he fails at it, then America does not fail. We win. We win. And so I hope that the president continues to fail at his job. Are you embarrassed, Maze, by this president?
Only person I'm embarrassed by is Rush Limbaugh and the people that follow him. Because they probably act just like he is.
Oh.
And then you got the nerve to sit up here and talk about an addict that you respect more than you respect the president of the United States. Shame
what
on
What addict? What addict is that,
Rush
Maze?
Limbaugh. That's who.
Maze, Rush Limbaugh's not an addict.
You're talking about an addict. He ain't nothing else.
And I did not say that I respected him more than the president.
Oh, yes, you do.
But I do. I didn't say that.
That's like anything Russ say, he got to go. But what do Russ know? Nothing. But to sit his butt on that radio and spread out rumors every day talking about nothing. That's what I feel about it.
Okay.
Who said I have to be in line and listen to what they got to say and follow what they got to say? I got my own man.
Yeah,
and
apparently.
And I'm happy when I see something black.
You got your mind fixed on Barack. You got your mind fixed on Barack Obama. And
I have the right to, because I had the right to vote for him when I'm going to vote for him.
You can't even tell me what he's done. What has he done?
You don't need to tell you. If you don't know, I don't have to tell you. Is it like you can't tell me what he haven't done?
Oh, I can. He has failed to keep us a AAA credit country. Okay, all right.
One person.
Just one person?
One vote. One
okay.
person, one vote.
Well,
following the whole
is that all the president
know
is?
What's going on. What?
Okay. All right. As I said earlier, during the 2008 presidential campaign, candidate Hillary Clinton ridiculed Barack Obama's inexperience with a famous ad asking who you wanted to answer the phone during a crisis at 3 a.m. Well, right now, it's apparent that our nation desperately need someone with experience, decisiveness, and leadership to navigate these troubled economic waters. And this guy just isn't cutting the mustard, folks. He's just not doing it for us. And no matter what my friend May says, the president of the United States is horrible at his job. He is doing the worst job as president than even Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter looks like a great president in comparison to this clown. Now, Maze can talk all she wants about these vague things that she thinks Obama's doing that's so right. But we can all see what's going on. And nothing Maze can say is going to change what the guy, the words the guy that comes out of the guy's mouth and the results or lack thereof that we see every single day. Carla, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
Yeah, I was listening to your last conversation. I don't think Obama can be elected again if the Republicans are able to put forth a decent candidate. I think that's the problem now. Republicans are not mounting a serious defense. Now, I believe that most of the independent voters like myself would vote for a Mitt Romney if he seemed like a reasonable candidate. But as we know, the current president had no experience. He had basically never operated the business. He didn't have much experience in the profession that he went to school for, which happened to be law. He hadn't tried that many cases, and he had only been a U.S. senator for 140 days before he ran for president. So he's highly inexperienced. He's making a lot of mistakes as president, and I don't see how a black person who had voted for him in 2008 would automatically vote for him again next year just based on race. Really, if you really investigate Obama's race, Obama is not really black.
No, he's not.
And if you've been outside the country, you've been to, say, countries in the Middle East, there are people there that are designated as Arab that are the same complexion as Obama and the same hair texture. And if you look at Obama's father's side, his father is descended from Arabs in Kenya. The Arabs in Kenya were slave traders. So it's very ironic that Obama really has Arab ancestry and he's half Caucasian.
Yeah.
Because in Africa, you have two different types of designations in terms of the ethnic background. You can either be Arab or the person can be a Negro. Well, Obama's father was not descended from a Negro black. He was descended from Arab black. And the Arab blacks in Kenya, most all of them were slave traders. So, you know, this is something that the black voters that voted for Obama, they could find this out if they did their own research.
You're exactly right, citizen. And you know what? I appreciate that that you brought that out. Now, we learned today that Rick Perry's going to throw his hat in the ring on Saturday. What do you think? Do you think Rick Perry has a chance to be the front runner and take the White House?
Well, I don't know too much about Rick Perry. I heard what Mitt Romney had to say. He seems to me the most reasonable candidate. Like, he could get the independent vote and the Republican vote.
Yeah.
Because really, the two states that are in contention is Ohio and Florida.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Midwest. And I think Obama's going to lose Nevada because Las Vegas has fallen on hard times as a result of the economy. Now,
yeah.
Obama may get some parts of the Northeast, like New York and California. But see, when Obama won the last time, he lost the Southeast completely. He was only able to win by winning California, New York, and winning some of the states in the Midwest. Because in the Midwest, they have the labor unions. So,
yeah.
You know, so the labor unions automatically are going to vote for the Democratic Party. But if the people in the Midwest do not have jobs, then they would vote for the other candidate, which would be Romney. But Romney is going to have to put together a very good campaign.
You're exactly right. We are out of time. We have 90 seconds. I want to thank Citizen for the call, for calling in. I also want to thank my girl Maze for calling in, and I do appreciate everything. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, Maze, and American Citizen. Thank you so much for contributing to the show. We are out of time, and I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight, because like I always say, I know you guys have a lot of things that you could be doing other than coming in and listening to my show, especially my girl Karen, Antoinette, Tesla, and everybody who's listening to the show on your computers, PDAs, and all of that. Thank you so much for being here. I do appreciate it. Have a great night, and I'm going to do a rebroadcast of one of Cool Mike's shows tomorrow night, because I want to tune in to Tesla's show tomorrow night at 9. So stay tuned for a rebroadcast of that show, which will be Meet the Media. All right, thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Way up high, and the dream that you dream of once. up the 12